Well, the debate continues over voter IDs. Democrats say they prevent people from voting. Republicans say they prevent fraud. And Republicans pushed for states to pass laws. Today, 31 states require voters to show IDs at the polls. This week in a D.C. court, the Justice Department is arguing that the 2011 Texas voter ID law violates the Voting Rights Act, and they say it could keep 1.4 million Texans from voting. Here's Attorney General Eric Holder speaking at the NAACP meeting in Houston this week.
Let me be very clear. We will not allow political pretext to disenfranchise American citizens of their most precious right.
Pennsylvania also passed a voter ID law. The Associated Press concluded it could prevent up to 750,000 people from voting. But will it also prevent fraud? Let's get a primer. Where are we on IDs? From Doug Chapin of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota. He's based in D.C. and joins us from the NPR studios there. Doug, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And let's start with the Texas case. Governor Rick Perry and his attorney general say they're just trying to prevent illegal immigrants from voting. Then they went on to say they're trying to prevent fraud. And Texas called witnesses this week who said that they anecdotally knew that felons and illegal immigrants and people using IDs of the deceased have voted. Are those cases, are those claims documented?
Well, they think they are. I think that that testimony and those anecdotes are certainly being vigorously challenged in court. That's what's interesting. We've seen other allegations around the country of dead people voting. It seems that it's almost a recurring story around Halloween. Do the dead rise and go to the polls? And what we're finding in other places, including in South Carolina, where this cropped up late last year, not everyone on that supposed dead voter list is actually dead, or if dead, actually voted. People sign on the wrong line. Fathers and sons have the same name. While you can't say that there are no people voting in the name of dead voters, in most cases so far we've seen those allegations to be far greater than the actual fact.
Well, the Associated Press did an extensive investigation. You're well aware of it. And they cited a report from the Republican National Lawyers Association. They found only 400 cases of voter fraud across the country over the past 10 years. The AP says that's not even a case a state a year. And even in counties where votes were rejected in the primaries, 2010, administrators who are for the ID laws had to admit, for instance, in Hawkins County, Tennessee, that the ballots that were rejected weren't fraud. They were technicalities. So, you know, how do Republicans respond to, you know, when you dig down to those cold, hard facts?
While a lot of those kinds of pushback you're seeing on fraud allegations, I think, is having some bite, it isn't necessarily deterring ID supporters, who, again, usually tend to be Republicans, from believing that fraud is an issue that needs to be addressed at the polls.
So let's go back to Texas. The Supreme Court upheld a similar Indiana law in 2008, one that's similar to the one that Texas is fighting the Justice Department over. And by the way, even though the court only found 9 potential impersonations, you know, people pretending to be someone else, they still cleared Indiana's law in 2008. Why is Texas different? You know, if there's the Supreme Court precedent, why is Texas being challenged by the Justice Department?
The reason Texas is being challenged is that Texas is subject to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 as amended, and as such is required to submit for what's called preclearance any change to election law practice or procedure. They did so with this new ID law. The Department of Justice denied them preclearance, and now, as is their right, they are seeking what's called judicial preclearance of that law here in court in D.C.
Yeah, in other words, Texas is one of 16 states, they're mostly in the South, that fall under this Voting Rights Act provision because of past patterns of discrimination against minorities. So they have to have this, as you say, preclearance by the Justice Department. What are opponents of the law saying about why it's a burden?
Well, you're getting really two arguments in the Texas case. The first is that by matching voter lists against other databases like driver's license and other ID databases, we're identifying large numbers of individuals who supposedly lack the necessary ID to cast a ballot. And the Department of Justice and ID opponents are citing those numbers as evidence that the law will have a discriminatory impact against minorities in Texas. The other argument, which Justice is pushing very hard in the Texas case, is that whether or not you demonstrate a discriminatory impact, that there was actually some intent to discriminate against minorities in Texas with passage of the ID law.
Well, Eric Holder said 8% of white adults lack government-issued IDs. That's compared to 25% of blacks. And he also called the photo ID law a form of a poll tax, since people have to pay for IDs. Explain more why that's significant.
Well, federal law prohibits poll taxes in federal elections. They were an unfortunate and really distasteful relic of the denial of civil rights in this country. And so federal law now prohibits poll taxes. The argument you hear from Holder and others is that ID requirements aren't a formal poll tax and that you are required to pay money to vote, but the money and time involved in obtaining the necessary ID, and often the documents necessary to get that ID, like a birth certificate, operate just like a poll tax in federal elections.
Well, for instance, we're reading that in Texas, 70 counties don't have the offices, the public works offices, that issue those IDs. And there are two-hour waits at those that do. Everybody knows what it's like to go down to one of those public offices. They say that, you know, there are people who can't afford that time away from work. And also in Texas, student IDs aren't allowed, even though, let's say, I think a gun license is. So the laws and the requirements vary from state to state. In other states, you can vote with a temporary ballot if you don't have the ID, but then the AP tells of a couple in Indiana, elderly, they were without an ID, they got a temporary ballot, but they didn't know that they had then had to follow up with their election board and go down to their election board, and so their ballot was thrown out. So it's also different from state to state.
It is indeed. I mean, if you set aside this kind of big fraud versus disenfranchisement argument, which is hard to do, but, you know, assuming that away, there are still lots of things to consider as you identify. You know, I've often said that with voter ID, the devil is in the details, and the details are particularly devilish. You know, you have questions about which ID is appropriate. There were allegations in the Indiana case that state-issued university IDs like the University of Indiana were acceptable, but private university IDs like the University of Notre Dame were not. There are problems in other states where you need a document to get an ID, but then you need that ID to get the document you need. It becomes kind of a vicious circle. So figuring out what to do and how to apply these laws once they're enacted is maybe not as high profile, but I think even more challenging than the debate itself.
Doug Chapin of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota. By the way, that Texas battle with the Justice Department over voter IDs may go to the Supreme Court. The Nation says the court has indicated it's willing to throw out aspects of the Voting Rights Act. We'll follow that story for you, but be back with more with Doug in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about voter ID laws, a starkly red and blue issue. Republicans say IDs are needed to prevent voter fraud, even though there's hardly any documented cases of fraud. Democrats saying these laws will keep people from the polls. There have been more cases of that, but still most analysts say not a critical mass. Our guest is Doug Chapin of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota. And Doug, we were talking about the Justice Department challenging Texas's new ID law in court this week. The department saying it discriminates against minorities. But what about the argument that you need an ID to get on a plane, to drive a car, to buy a beer? You know, you have to show you're of legal age. Why not require an ID to vote?
The argument is that the vote is so fundamental to pretty much all the other rights in the Constitution that putting a barrier on it through an ID requirement is a very different thing than a simple commercial transaction.
Well, let's take a look at some of the politics here. Given that there are not that many hard and fast documented cases of fraud, and given the perception by Democrats that it's people who vote Democrat who are being disenfranchised here, of course, you know, there are charges this is all political. And that was, you know, fed by Pennsylvania Republican Mike Terzai, who was speaking to people there in Pennsylvania and literally said that the voter ID law was passed so that Mitt Romney could win. Let's listen.
Voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
So, Doug, first of all, what's the law in Pennsylvania?
voters will be required to show photo ID, and if they fail to have that ID, they'll have to cast a provisional ballot and provide it afterwards. The issue there has really been what to do about individuals who lack ID and need to get supporting documentation to obtain that ID.
And that's about 750,000 people. So Democrats are saying, you know, that's a potential 750,000 votes.
Yeah, it is. And I think the important thing to remember here, I mean, we talk a lot about the anecdotal nature of fraud evidence on one side of the argument, but in many ways, the evidence of disenfranchisement is not that much less anecdotal. What we're still trying to figure out is how many people there actually are who are registered to vote, who want to vote, and would vote but for the fact that they lack photo ID. I think just like fraud, that's probably a non-zero number, but the current fight is about how much bigger than zero that number really is.
Right. I mean, at least going forward, you're saying that the Democrats' claim of disenfranchisement might be as sketchy as the claims of fraud from Republicans, but we do have some hard numbers from 2010. I mean, we know that states Georgia, Tennessee, Indiana, the AP says hundreds of ballots were blocked, and the suggestion is that the legitimate votes rejected because of those laws, the ID laws, were far more numerous than the cases of fraud.
Not to dismiss those numbers, because those are absolutely true. What we're not clear on yet is whether or not those are individuals who lacked ID or who had ID and decided not to go back when they didn't bring it with them to the polls. And again, you know, as someone who describes himself as an election geek like I do, any individual who wants to cast a ballot and should have been able to and couldn't is a problem. But what we need to figure out is, are we disenfranchising otherwise eligible people because of a lack of ID, or is there something else going on? That's the policy fight that we're going to see not just over the next several months, but I think over the next several years in this country.
Just want to talk briefly about Florida. Republican Governor Rick Scott is defying the Justice Department. He's continuing a voter purge. He says it'll stop illegal immigrants from voting. What is the status of the fight there between that state and the Justice Department?
Florida never fails to impress when it comes to news in an election year. Florida, based on some concern about non-citizens on the rolls, compiled a list of about 180,000 names of individuals they believed were non-citizens and were preparing to send that out to county election supervisors. There were concerns about the quality of that list, that perhaps it was way over-inclusive. As a result of those reports, DOJ sued Florida. What's interesting is that recently a federal judge said that a federal law that normally prohibits states from conducting purges too close to Election Day doesn't apply in this case, because the goal of this operation is not to identify inactive voters or people who have moved, but actually individuals who are never eligible in the first place. So seeking to remove people who never belonged on the rolls is okay, as opposed to purging people who are being removed for failure to vote.
And is it still going on? Is the purging still going on? Is it active in Florida?
It is not going on now, but the big news is that, one, that Florida is preparing to actually release that list of 180,000-plus names after initially resisting that, and second, that other states, including Colorado, are now joining Florida's call to the Federal Department of Homeland Security to release a list of non-citizens which could be used to match against that list. The DOJ sued Florida, and Florida said, well, wait a minute, we've been asking you for months for this list and you won't give it to us. And I think we're now starting to see other states push back against DHS to say, hey, wait a minute, we want it too. It's not just Florida.
And by the way, doesn't Colorado have a Democratic governor?
Colorado has a Democratic governor and a Republican secretary of state. Just like other states that have that same split governance, you can imagine there will be some sharp and perhaps very vocal differences of opinion as Election Day approaches.
There you go. Doug Chapin, just one last question. Given the small number of documented cases of fraud, and given the relatively small compared to the electorate, you know, there are hundreds of ballots that were tossed out. Democrats worry that there will be thousands, over a million maybe, tossed out in the presidential election. But if it is just the couple hundred, one wonders, does it matter? And then one remembers an election in Florida when 500 votes mattered.
Yeah, I think you framed it nicely. I think that all other things being equal, the numbers we're looking at, fraud versus potential disenfranchisement, the numbers aren't that big. But when you remember, one, that it doesn't take many votes to tip an election, and we seem to live in an era when elections are increasingly close, it does seem to matter. Voter ID has been with us for years. I think it will be with us for years to come. Whether or not it's overblown or not, it's something that election officials and voters are going to have to be thinking about for the foreseeable future.
Doug Chapin of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration at the University of Minnesota. Doug, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So as always, we want your thoughts. Are you in the what's the big deal, get an ID as you would to drive camp? Or do you think there's too few cases of fraud, far fewer than car accidents? Let us know your thoughts, hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Love to hear from you. Latest news is next, Here and Now.